Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 9th Chapter, verse 12 to 18 onwards. First, I would like to hand over call to Ayan Prabhuji for brief introduction of the Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranamal Vishnu Srila Prabhupada. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji.
Madhuji, we don't have introduction. Prabhuji is already there on the call. We'll hand over directly to you.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम So we'll begin from 6th canto, 9th chapter, text number 12. Atanvaharya pachanat uttito gora darshanah krutanta iva lokanam yuganta samayeyata. Thereafter, avaharya pachanat, from the fire known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. Vishvak vivardhamanam tam yushumatram dine dine dagda shaila pratikasham Sandhya Branika Varchasam Tapta Tamrashikas Mushroom Madhyanarkogra Lochanam Dedipyamane Trishike Shula Aropya Rodasi Nrityantam Unnadantam Cha Chalayantam Padamahim Dari Gambira Vaktrena Tibata Chana Bastalam Lihata Jihva Yarkshani Grasata Bhuvanatrayam Makata Raudra Damstrena Jirmbamanam Muhurmuhu Vitrasta Dudru Gurloka Viksha Sarve Dishodasha. Like arrows released in the four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill and was as lustrous
as a
bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. he appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble, as if from an earthquake. As he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up all the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. Hare Krishna. So one more verse. Yenavrita ime loka tapasastra murtina savai vritra iti prokta papa paramadarunah. That very fearful demon, who was actually the son of Tvashta, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vritra, or one who covers everything. In the Vedas, it is said, Sa imal lokan avrunot tad vritrasya vritratvam. Because the demon covered all the planetary systems, his name also. So here, we are seeing the appearance of Vritrasur. Very graphic description of the Vritrasur's appearance. I'll just go through some of the words here. So, Ata Anvaharya Pachanat. So, Prabhupada has translated us from a sacrificial fire called as Anvaharya, like that he mentioned. Vritrasur appeared from the sacrificial fire, Anvaharya. But another meaning of the word Anvaharya is that to kill Indra. In order to kill Indra, Ata Anvaharya Pachanat. So, Uttito Gora Darshanaha. Gora Darshana, a fearful personality. Kritanta Iva Lokanam, who looked like the Kritanta, destroyer of the entire creation. When did he appear? Yuga Anta Samaye, at the end of the Yuga, at the end of the millennium. He arose from Ata Anvaharya Pachanat. He arose from his desire to destroy Indra. So Anvaharya Pachanat refers to from his desire to destroy Indra. This is the meaning given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And then the next verse, next four or five verses, the graphic description of Vishat Vritras is given. So Yeshu Matram Dine Dine. So Vritrasur's body was growing day by day. Vivardamanam means growing. Dine dine. Every day it was going. Just like we have the Shikshashtakam verse. Anandam Budhi Vardhanam. The same Vardhanam, the same word is there. Vivardamanam dine dine. It was growing day after day. How much it was growing day after day? Yishu Matram dine dine. Like the arrows released in the four directions. The arrows released, they go at a great distance actually. So in that way, it was growing day by day, actually, day after day. And Dagda Shaila Pratikasham. He appeared like the Dagda Shaila is the mountain, Dagda Shaila burnt mountain. Sandhya Branika Varchasam. He had a luster like the Sandhya Abra. Abra is the clouds. What kind of clouds? Sandhya Abra. Clouds in the evening. He was lustrous as a bright array of clouds in the evening. Tapta Tamra Shikas Mushroom. So his the Shika and his moustache, they appear like a burnt copper, tapta tamra. And madhya agnar kogra lochanam. How did his eyes look like? Madhya Agnarka Ugra. It was very, was piercing like the midday sun. Madhya Agna. It was piercing like the midday sun. And Dedipya Mane Trishike. Shula Aropya Rodasi. Dedipya Mane Trishike. Shula Aropya Rodasi. So as if Trishike refers to holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Shula is a trident. What kind of a trident? Dedipya Mane Shula, blazing trident. He was actually, it appeared that as if with the three tips, he was going to destroy the three worlds. The three worlds and the points of his blazing trident. What was he doing? Mrityantam, dancing. Unnadantam. Unnadantam means shouting. Unnadantam, shouting with a loud voice. Chalayantam padamahim. When he was walking, he was actually making the earth tremble. Chalayantam padamahim. It is described that Dari Gambira Vaktrena Tibatacha Nabastalam. So it appeared that Pibatacha Nabaha, the sky. Pibata, it appeared that he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his vaktra mouth. What kind of a mouth? Dari Gambira. He appeared to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his mouth, which is Dari Gambira, which is like a deep like a cave. Gambira means deep, grave. Dari is the cave. And Lihata Jihva Yarkshani. Lihata means licking. Lihata means licking. Jihvaya, you usually lick with the tongue. So Lihata Jihvaya Jihva Yarkshani. He seemed to be licking up. Arkshani means what? The stars. Jihvaya Rikshani. Jihvaya Rikshani. He seemed to be licking all the stars in the sky. And Grasata Bhuvanatrayam. He appeared to be eat the entire universe with his terrible teeth. Grasata Bhuvanatrayam Mahata Raudra Dramshrenam. Raudra Dramshrenam, this terrible teeth. And Jirumbamanam Muhur Muhugu. Jirumbamanam means yawning. Like in the third canto, there is a word which comes at how from Brahmaji is yawning certain living entities took birth. So Jirumbamanam is yawning. So Muhur Muhu, he was yawning again and again. And with Vitrastha Dudruvur Loka, Viksha Sarve Dishodasha. So the people who are looking this appearance of this figure of Dhritarasura, they ran, they became fearful. Vitrastha Dudruvur, they ran in all the 10 directions. Disho Dasha. They ran in all the 10 directions. And then, Yenavrita Ime Lokas. Tapasa Tvashtra Murtina. So, he is the Tvashtra Murtina. He is the son of Tvashta. What kind of a son? Parama Darunaha. Extremely cruel. Papaha. Sinful. And Yenavrita Ime Lokas. He covered all the three worlds. So therefore, he was called as Savai Vritra Iti Proktaha. Therefore, he is called as Vritra. The whole world was covered by Vritra. Therefore, his form was related to Toshta. Whose form was related to Toshta. It's a very graphic description of Vritrasur. So we are reading one of the very beautiful stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Vritrasura. So whenever we remember this story of Vritrasura, when we read this description of Vritrasura, one thing which came to my mind, there was a movie which came in Tamil, because I didn't see that movie, but I saw somewhere the title of that movie. Title of the movie was Uttama Villan. So Vritrasura from one point of view, he is like a villain because he is on the side of the demons. And he is fighting against the demigods who are the Vishnu Bhakta, Karmakanda Bhaktas, but Vishnu Bhaktas. He was fighting against Dharma. In that sense, he is a villain. But at the same time, he is a Uttama villain because Vritrasura will exhibit his consciousness as a Mahabhagavata devotee. So this story of Srimad Bhagavatam, it establishes a very profound Siddhanta, how the bhakti is independent of everything. This particular Siddhanta is actually is discussed elaborately by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambini. The first Vrishti, the first shower of nectar, he talks about this, how bhakti is independent. So this, there he speaks theoretically with the different shlokas, pramanas. And Vritrasura's story is like a practical example of the Siddhanta. The Siddhanta is proved, bhakti is independent. And when we read this description of Vritrasura, later when we go through the prayers of Vritrasura, the prayers of Vritrasura are exactly the same prayers, the same mood as Queen Kunti offered. Queen Kunti said that, Tvayime ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrit, ratim udvakhatat adda gange vaugam udanvati. Let my consciousness flow towards the lotus feet of Krishna spontaneously like a Ganges flows towards the ocean. Vritrasura offered a similar prayer. Aham hare tava padaika moolo dasanu dasu bhavitasmi bhuyaha manas maretasu pater gunamste grihita vakkarma karotu kaya. Vritrasura says that let my mind be engaged in thinking of Krishna, let my words be engaged in glorifying him, let my body be engaged in his service. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga sanyam yata vatsatara kshudartha priyam priyeva yushitam vishanna mano ravindaksha didrikshate tvam. Just like a baby bird is eagerly looking for the when the mother bird will return, just like the calves are eagerly looking for the mother to come, just like the newly married wife is looking for the husband and longing to be united with you. Exactly the similar mood of prayer was offered by Queen Kunti. But if we keep an external picture of Queen Kunti and Vritrasura's picture, Vritrasura's description is given in these verses. And if we make a question that note down the common things in the appearance of Kunti's picture and Vritrasura's picture. So externally speaking, you will not find Kunti is a very simple, ordinary mother, a widow mother of 5 children. And Vritrasura is such a very fearful description of his appearance is there. But although externally there is absolutely no match between Queen Kunti and Vritrasura, but their internal state of heart is same. So through this, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually training us to focus on the substance of devotion and not to focus on the externals. So even Srila Ramanujacharya, at the end of his life, he was giving his last part of his life, he was giving instruction to his disciples. So at that time, he warned the disciples to not judge a Vaishnava different designations. The designations of an ashrama or a varna. He mentions something like some 12 categories actually. I'm not going into the details of those. For example, he talks about janma nirupana. One may judge the Vaishnava based on the birth. Sharira nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava. Oh, this Vaishnava is in the female body. This Vaishnava is in the bird body, therefore it's inferior. Vaishnava is in an elephant body. Or this Vaishnava is in a monkey body, therefore it's inferior. Or Bhava Nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava based on their age. He is only a 6-year-old. or he is only a Kaumara, or Ashrama Nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava based on the Ashrama. Oh, he is a Grihastha Vaishnava. Oh, he is a Brahmachari, or he is a Sannyasi Vaishnava, therefore he is superior. Or Avayava Nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava based on the bodily deformation. So this Vaishnava is a blind or a lame. Or Alasya Nirupana. Judge a Vaishnava based on their external activities. Oh, this Vaishnava, while eating, he actually makes a sound. Or while he makes a snoring sound during sleeping. So therefore, he is an inferior Vaishnava. Or this Vaishnava is very lazy. And or Vasa Nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava based on his place of residence. So like previously, some 40, 50 years back, there was a conception, oh, those who stay in the temple, they are Vaishnava. Those who stay outside the temple, they are in Maya. So something that were conceptual. So Vasa Nirupana, those who stay in the holy places, so they are superior. And you may neglect the devotees who are not coming from the holy places. So that is Vasa Nirupana. And then Bandhu Nirupana. Vaishnava is my relative, therefore he is superior. He is not related to me. My relative, therefore he is not superior. One may respect great acharyas, spiritual master, but one may respect great preachers, one may disrespect simple devotees. We'll be just making some garland or ordinary services. And Prakara Nirupana, or we may differentiate devotees by based on, oh, this devotee is doing intimate service to the Lord. So he is doing Shringar of the Radha Krishna. But this devotee is simply doing Dasananda service. So this devotee is directly the personal servant of spiritual master. But this devotee, oh, he is just taking care of cleaning department. So like that, we may judge a devotee based on their intimacy of service to the Lord or the spiritual master. And then Vartana Nirupana. One may judge a Vaishnava based on their occupation. So this devotee is doing the occupation of a Brahmana, therefore he is superior. So this devotee is simply is doing a farmer's occupation. Or he is an ordinary, some merchant, therefore he is inferior. And then there is Dosha Nirupana. We may find faults in the externals of the great devotees like Pandavas or Draupadi, Lord Shiva, etc. Draupadi, she is married to 5 husbands. Therefore, she is an inferior Vaishnava. For Pandavas, they study the ashes. So like that, Ramanujacharya taught that how one should not commit Vaishnava Aparadha based on these externals. So coming back here, so similarly here, Vritrasura is actually a Mahabhagavata Vaishnava, but externally he was a demon actually. And I'll discuss we will discuss some more points related to the previous section of this chapter. So in this chapter, we see, like, for another point is that sometimes we may judge a Vaishnava based on the externals and we may commit mistakes. And sometimes we may misjudge a person based on the externals. Sometimes asuras can come in the disguise of a Vaishnava or a dharmic person. The Krishna Lila, there was Kalambasur. But he took the form of a cowherd boy and then he was mingling with the cowherd boys. So sometimes the asuras can actually take the same technique. And then we may, Arputana took the form of a beautiful lady. And so much so that the Vrindavan ladies, even including Nanda, Yashoda and Rohini, they thought that Putana is better than a mother. She is better than us. In that way, they may actually misjudge even yet, misunderstand even an asura. So, therefore one has to be careful. And so this chapter began with the Indra. He had appointed Vishwarup as the priest for performing the sacrifices because Vishwarup was recommended by Brahma. But although the demigods accepted Vishwarup as a priest, but Indra was spying on Vritrasura. He was spying on Vritrasura, how Vritrasura is offering oblations. So Vritrasura had an impartial, Vishwarup had an impartial attitude. He was related to both the demons and the demigods. He was offering oblations for both of them. But the demigods did not trust Vishwarupa, therefore spying on Vishwarupa. So when we accept a spiritual master, before we accept a spiritual master, we may test a spiritual master. But once we accept a spiritual master, we cannot be spying on the spiritual master. One should trust the spiritual master completely. But here the demigods, they were actually spying on Vishwarupa. And then we see that when Indra committed so many mistakes, Indra did not respect Brihaspati. But at that time, the other demigods also did not remain Indra. And Indra was actually, he killed Vishwarupa. So sometimes when we are surrounded by people who are like psycho fans or who may not correct us when we are doing mistake, and then we continue to fall down, we continue to commit more mistakes. So one time some soldiers in an army battalion along with their general, they were on the last floor of a building. And the last floor of the building caught fire. So then all the soldiers, they had to actually, they had to jump down from the top floor. So two soldiers were there in the ground and they were holding a net. So one by one, all the soldiers were actually jumping from the top floor. And then finally, the general was actually jumping. When the general was jumping, and the two soldiers who were holding the net, they left the net and they did salute the general. And the general fell down and his arms got broken. So similarly, sometimes, suppose we are surrounded by such followers who simply continue to worship us, who don't actually help us, who don't correct us when we are doing mistake. So at that time, they facilitate our fall down only. So therefore, it is important that when we are surrounded, we have to be surrounded by people to whom we give the choice to actually correct us, to whom we give the freedom to correct us. So in the case of Indra, maybe the other demigods could have easily remained, but they didn't. They also didn't remain. This is one point. Some devotees shared, some Maharajas shared. And the mood of the demigods when they approached Vishwarup was that they approached Vishwarup with a material purpose to regain their lost position. So usually when we approach a spiritual master, we approach a spiritual master when we are completely exhausted of all the material aspirations. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyashu shreya uttamam. That is the purpose with which we approach a spiritual master. But when a person approaches a sadhu or a guru with a material purpose, and then when a person maintains that material attachment, one may approach initially with a material purpose, but when a person continues to maintain one's material attachment, at some point of time, one will commit mistakes. They will commit some aparad. So here the demigods, they maintained their material attachment. Indra maintained his material attachment. After the Brihaspati left, Indra actually repented openly in front of everyone. But then, but still, he maintained some material attachment. So that is why when he saw that Vishwaroop was offering oblation on behalf of the demons also, immediately he cut off the head of Vishwaroop. He should have at least given a benefit of doubt and inquired from Vishwaroop. But when a person maintains a material attachment, one may become angry and may commit a mistake. If we see Vishwaroop, such a glorious character, Vishwaroop, for the sake of the demigods, who are actually his, the position of their fathers, but Vishwaroop accepted the position of their superior by becoming a priest, by becoming their guru, for their sake. So sometimes a junior may have to accept the position of a superior. That means, say, suppose somebody may have to take the position of a speaking Bhagavatam or a guru for his superiors as a service. But one should do that in the mood of a service, but not in the mood of pride and arrogance. So Vishwaroopa, with a service attitude, he accepted the position of a guru of the demigods who are in the position of their father. Actually, that is a good character of Vishwaroopa. So there is a beautiful shloka in the Niti which says that Yata Gajapati Shranta Chayarti Vikshamashrita Vishramya Tadrumakanti Tata Nichaswamashrayam. Just as a great elephant, when tired, approaches a tree with the desire for obtaining shade, but later uproots the same tree. Similarly, sometimes when unqualified people, they take shelter of a great person. After taking shelter of that person, they actually cause trouble to that same person. They cause trouble to the same person. So sometimes bad instructors, they lead the followers wrong directions. And sometimes unqualified followers, they cause trouble to guru. So although, so here we see that Indra took shelter of Vishwaroopa. But the same Indra is causing trouble to Vishwaroopa by actually beheading him. So sometimes when we are, when we simply want to get more and more followers, and then when we compromise something, when we compromise certain principles, we may get more followers. And then in the course of that, those followers actually, they may take shelter of us, and they may initially increase your number of follower base. But because those followers come with a different material motivation, at some point they may cause trouble to the very people from whom they received shelter. So therefore, it is important, like there are statements like one should not make unqualified disciples. Just to increase the number of disciples, one should not give diksha to unqualified people. Because when you give shelter to unqualified people, they can cause trouble to the very people who gave them shelter. So therefore, even when we are showing compassion, we have to use certain intelligence. So we have to see the practicality. For example, when we see the example of Ram and Krishna, when Vibhishan came to surrender to Lord Ram, and then Lord Ram asked the opinion of the other monkey soldiers, and they said that don't give shelter to Vibhishan because he is the brother of our enemy, he could be a spy and he can cause great problem to us. But then Ram heard them, and finally Ram said that even if actually Vibhishan exploits my shelter, Ram says that Sakrudeva Praponnau Yas Tavasmiti Achate Abayam Sarvada Tasmai Dadam Yadam Pratam Mama. If a person comes once and comes in front of me and tells once in front of me that I am yours, then I will give him Abhayadana. So therefore, I will give Abhayadana to Vibhishan. Suppose if Vibhishan exploits my shelter, then I have the power to actually, I have the capacity to handle that. In fact, what to speak of Vibhishan, even if Ravan comes and surrenders to me, I will give him shelter. Because if those people exploit my shelter, I have the power to handle. So Ram was showing compassion, but even in that, when he was showing compassion, he had a practical conviction, intelligence, that if my shelter is exploited, I can handle that. But oftentimes, when we give shelter to somebody indiscriminately, without thinking, and that person exploits our shelter, do we have the capacity to handle it? Like suppose somebody who has committed many murders or something, he comes and takes shelter of a temple. He says that I want to join full time. Yeah, compassion principle is there. But then practically, suppose if he steals something and he has a bad track record, do you have the capacity to handle? Suppose he commits another murder, he hurts somebody, do you have the capacity to handle it? So therefore, compassion should be flavored with the practical intelligence. And then Krishna's, this one, when Krishna was telling to Karna, Karna told that I will not fight the battle as long as Bhishma is there in the battlefield. So then Krishna proposed to Karna, then why don't you actually, Bhishma is there, why don't you fight for the Pandavas? And then after the Bhishma dies, then you can switch over the side and you can fight on behalf of the Kauravas. Like that Krishna gave the proposal. So Krishna was actually, he had a compassion towards Karna. He thought that he wanted to give some credit to Karna for serving the Pandavas. Therefore, he said, at least till Bhishma is there, why don't you fight for the sake of the Pandavas? So he gave a practical proposal. He gave a practical proposal. But even in that practicality, he had the flavor of compassion. At least Karna should get the credit of some Vaishnava seva. So sometimes what we do is that in the name of practicality, we don't, we become, in the name of practicality, we completely neglect the principle of compassion. So you may say, oh, this is not practical. Sometimes because of practicality, we don't extend ourselves and we completely forget the principle of compassion. So therefore, from Lord Ram, we should learn how our compassion should be flavored with intelligence, practical intelligence. And from Krishna, we should learn how our practicality should be flavored with the compassion and the principle of compassion. So why I'm mentioning here is that, so here Vishwarupa gave shelter to Indra. But Indra exploited that compassion. Indra actually did not trust Vishwarupa, and he spied upon Vishwarupa and he misunderstood Vishwarupa, and then he actually caused damage to the very people. He killed the very person whom he gave shelter, who gave shelter to him. So this is another thing which we can learn. And when we see Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi, Parikshit Maharaj lamented intensely. What was Parikshit Maharaj's lamentation? He said that, let me get the reaction. When Parikshit Maharaj put the dead snake around Samika Rishi, when he was returning, he was repenting for his mistake. He was thinking that, let me get the reaction to this mistake immediately. And let the reaction come to me in full force. I don't want any concession. And let it not go on to other my family members. Let it come to me only. That was the deep repentance of Parikshit Maharaj. So when we talk about the sin, three feelings should be there. A person should have a fear of committing a sin. A person should have a should be shy of committing a sin. And a person should repent after committing a sin. The more these three feelings are not there, Bhaya, Lajja, and Pachchatapa, if these three feelings are not there, That is a sign that the society is going towards the materialistic society. So oftentimes the people, they don't fear and they don't have shame and they don't have any repentance after committing a mistake. But Parishit Maharaj had a deep sense of detachment, deep sense of repentance. But on the other hand, when we compare with Indra, after killing Vishwarupa, he got the sin of killing a Brahmana. And he suffered for some time. But later he shared the reactions with others. And then he continued to maintain his material attachment for desiring the opulences. Yeah, one may desire certain facilities, but if it is exclusively for the sake of performing service, that is all right. But if it is also for the sake of enjoying those opulences and facilities, that means a person is having a karma mishra bhakta attitude. So Indra, he continued to desire the opulences. On the other hand, when you compare Indra with Dhruva Maharaj, we compare with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was given benediction by the Lord. The Lord told that you will be able to rule this kingdom for 36,000 years. Then after that, you will be able to rule. You will go to Dhruva Loka and rule for so many years, and then you will come to Vaikuntha. But after Dhruva Maharaj heard those benedictions, Vidura, Dhruva Maharaj was not happy. At that time, Vidura asked a question. Sudurlabham yat paramam padam harer maya vinastacharan archan arjitam labdvapya siddhartam ivaika janmana katam samatmanam amanyatartavit. So Vidura said that the abode of the Lord is very difficult to attain, and it can be attained only by pure devotional service. And Dhruva Maharaj got that benediction to attain the abode of the Lord. And he knew the value of the abode of the Lord. But still, after getting the benediction, why was he not pleased? Like that, Vidura asked the question. At that time, Maitreya Rishi answers, he explains Dhruva Maharaj's feelings after he received those benediction, how Dhruva Maharaj was repenting. Aho bata mamanatmyam manda bhagyasya pashyata bhavachita padamulam gatva yache edantavat. So Dhruva Maharaj is saying that I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord who can immediately cut the chain of repetition of birth and death. But still out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. So Dhruva Maharaj, because he actually he was completely purified. When the Lord appeared, he only offered for a pure devotional service, association of devotees. But still the Lord chose to fulfill his previous desires. So Dhruva Maharaj was repenting. Oh, why did I have those previous desires? But here, Indra, he was not very cautious that he is maintaining those material desires. Because of that, he actually committed this mistake to Vishwarupa. One minute. Another comparison with Indra and Dhruva Maharaj. And then another comparison, if we see Indra with Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj, in his prayers to the Lord said that you can ask any benediction from me. But Prithu Maharaj said that, actually, I don't want to choose any benediction. You know what is good for me. Therefore, you yourself can choose what is good for me. And then you can give that benediction. Vishnu Chakotipat says that, This shows Prithu Maharaj's complete trust in the Lord. But on the other hand here, Indra did not trust Vishwarupa. He was spying on Vishwarupa. He misunderstood Vishwarupa and he killed Vishwarupa. So Indra, although he repented after committing that mistake to Brihaspati, But Indra did not have deep realizations. He could not actually sustain those same feelings. Sometimes a devotee may have certain feelings of repentance after committing a mistake. But then oftentimes those feelings are short-lived. That is why it is said that emotions are like the tail of a dog. The tail of a dog can be straightened for a moment, but it does not remain straight for a long time. Immediately when you leave it, it comes again to the same position. So oftentimes, in the case of a conditioned soul, a practicing devotee, we may get a certain very good feelings and emotions of deep repentance, deep humility, or forgiveness. These kind of emotions come at different times. But oftentimes those emotions are short-lived. So how do we sustain those emotions? So in one class, Radhana Swami Maharaj mentioned that we can sustain those emotions only when we get realizations. Only when we get realization, then our emotions, those positive emotions can be sustained. And according to how we practice bhakti with humility, then we can get realizations. If we practice bhakti mechanically, we cannot get realizations. When we don't get realizations, those feelings of repentance, humility, forgiveness, these feelings will not be, these feelings cannot be sustained. Then we again end up committing the same mistakes. So, one ends up committing the same mistake. So, Indra, so in this episode, we see that Indra is actually committing the same mistake because of maintaining that material attachment. So one time, Indra, he did not uproot the weeds of his material attachments. So the sinful tendency of the material attachments remained in his antakarana in the subtle form. So what are the possible causes of distraction from the path of pure faith is that when a person does not accept the seed of spiritual master's instruction. Sometimes when a person does not accept the Bhakti Lata Bija, then that becomes a cause of distraction. Or a person accepts the seed of Bhakti Lata Bija properly, but he is not watering that seed regularly. Then also he will get distracted by other things. Or third, this thing is that a person may accept the seed, Bhakti Lata Bija, and he may be watering it also regularly, but then he may not uproot the unwanted weeds which are growing along with the Bhakti Lata Bija. Then if he does not uproot them, if he does not notice and uproot them, then also one will get distracted by other things. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one should look out for the weeds and then identify them and uproot and then also water the Bhakti Lata Bija regularly. So in this way, we see when Indra shared the sinful reactions to the women, the four personalities, and then they said that, okay, we will accept 1/4 of your sinful reactions, but in return, you have to give us certain benedictions. You have to do certain favors. So therefore, material world is like that. When we accept favors from somebody, then we become obliged to do something for them. So these four personalities, Indra was accepting favor from them for accepting his sinful reactions. But he had to do some, he is obliged to do some favor to them. So that is how material world is. Therefore, one has to be very careful from whom we take favors. Because sometimes when we may take favors from somebody, but later that person may remember that and he may exploit that for a wrong reason. He may exploit that for a wrong reason. So therefore, for example, for a bank, for a house loan, you may take a favor from a bank, you may take a loan. But then the bank will exploit that favor for 20 years by higher EMIs. It will keep increasing, etc. So therefore, we have to be very careful whom we take favor. And therefore, Mahabharata says that in the Mahabharata, Yaksha asked one question to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is a happy person? Yudhishthira Maharaj said that happy person is somebody who does not have any loans, who is not obliged to somebody, and who gets to eat food cooked at home, and who does not have to travel outside for the job. He does not have to travel outside the house. He does not have to travel a long distance for earning his livelihood. These are the signs of a happy person, like that Yudhishthira Maharaj answered. So these are some points which came to my mind. So I'll stop here. See if anybody has any questions, they can ask or somebody wants to share something.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a beautiful class. Very grateful to you, Prabhu, for so many interesting details you have shared, that how we have to be as a devotee, how we should not judge on the devotees, and also especially on the spiritual master. It's a great mistake that how Indra has kept a spy on him, and then he had to do all that mistake. So we should be very careful not to commit any Vaishnava aparadh or any mistake. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that detailed class. We have Jyoti Mataji who raised her hand. Please go ahead, Jyoti Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam to you. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have two questions from the class. One is, I have a confusion between the feeling and emotion. According to me, or what I have noted about feelings and emotions through all the Vaishnavas, is that feelings, emotion is like very strong, some sort of expectations, or which goes against our thought process, or say anger is an. But the feeling is like it comes, it is a strong force, but it arises and it doesn't have that much significance. Okay, I feel to it this, and then it goes off, right? So that means my perception is this, but I'm not able to understand how it applies in bhakti, or what exactly is the difference between the feelings and emotions.
Yeah, they're almost same. I think technical difference, I don't know. What I mentioned was that sometimes we may have a, say, feeling or a emotional of service attitude, or attentive japa, or a feeling of repentance, or a feeling of forgiving somebody, not maintaining the grudges. Like that, these feelings are there. But then oftentimes these feelings don't remain sustainably.
Exactly.
That is what I was mentioning. In order to maintain sustainably those feelings, one has to perform bhakti, not mechanically, but with humility. And then one will get realizations. And by that, one can sustain those feelings. That's what I mean.
So that feelings will be strong emotions later on, right?
Yeah, feeling emotional, any word you can use. I'm not particularly distinguishing either emotion or feeling, any words.
But the second part is, like you said, you made one statement in the teachings that we should uproot the weeds also, right? So sometimes we have that there is no certain given a thought, but there is a feeling which comes, which is not in control, right? It is a strike force which comes and goes off, and which doesn't even have some value, but that is like a weed, right, which goes against the bhakti. Say if we meet one Vaishnava and we feel like, I didn't want it to mean it, but I said it, but that person takes it. So that happens, right? So still there is a confusion between the feeling and the emotion. Means I'm not satisfied with the answer. How I should look in the bhakti, because practicing bhakti means we should have a definite definitions of the words, right? It is a science. So I have to look into it, like
feeling,
what
emotion.
Exactly?
Simple thing that I explained is that I'm not feeling emotion. They are English words, actually. They are not the technical words of bhakti. What I mentioned is that sometimes we have a feeling of repentance or a feeling of service attitude. But oftentimes those feelings, they don't sustain. Today we have that enthusiasm, but sometimes that feeling is not there tomorrow. Today we think, oh, I should forgive that person. But then within 5 minutes later, we have the grudge feeling toward that person comes. So that way we oscillate between the different emotions. Just like the dog's tail cannot be straightened. So that is further, when we come to the stage of nishtha, we continue to practice bhakti. Of course, these feelings may oscillate. This is also symptoms of anishtita bhajana kriya. But when you continue to practice bhakti, you don't have to too much do paralysis by analysis, all these feelings. You continue to practice bhakti with faith. Then when you come to the stage of steadiness, then these oscillations will stop.
Yes, okay. That's the point. Prabhuji, thank you so much. Thank you so much for answering me. Hare Krishna.
I'll just take one question only. That one question in the chat box. I'll go somewhere. What is the substance of bhakti? Like that, the question is asked. Substance of bhakti is the desire to, exclusive desire to please Krishna without any ulterior motivations. Desire to please Krishna, serve the Vaishnavas. That same substance of bhakti, service attitude, that is there, the same eagerness, substance of bhakti is there. The same substance is there with Kunti as well as with Dhritarashtra, although the external appearance was different. The substance of bhakti is Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyanavratam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Rottam. Substance of bhakti. Okay.
Prabhuji, can I ask one question? Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, what happens to the faith in Anishta Bhajan Kriya?
Anishtita Bhajan Kriya?
Huh.
Yeah, he oscillates between different stages. Sometimes enthusiasm, sometimes not enthusiasm. He's continuing to, bhakti is never lost. And if he commits some, say, aparadhas, then some reactions will be there. But again, he will continue to practice bhakti. Once a person starts practice of bhakti, it will never get lost. So yeah, when we acquire more sambandha jnana properly, here, then we can execute the bhakti with the right attitude and avoid the aparadhas, and we can progress. So that's one.
But how to cultivate that faith? How to water the faith from this stage? How we should deal with
hearing,
the faith?
Chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and the process of watering the faith.
Uti Mataji, Prabhuji has something to
say. Yes, Mataji.
Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting the holy names. So the main process. Serving the devotees.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam.
Today I had a small sorry for that.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay our offices to Prabhuji. ప్రభుజీకి జయ.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu. 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 Thank